Chapter 45. By the next night, Ron was feeling better about his mother. His father had come to visit, as he said that he would, that afternoon. Ron was right about the effect that it had on her. She brightened and did not cry while he was there. He even made her laugh. Harry never mentioned that Ron had come to see him. In the hallway, they shook hands again, and Harry said that he would try to stop by. Most days. The hospital was very close, and Ron suspected that Harry would keep these visits to himself. He was rarely at home, and Betty was even more rarely given the privilege of knowing where he was. Later that afternoon, the doctor stopped by and said that everything was holding steady and that there was no immediate reason for alarm. Jacob Gutberg had agreed to become her cardiologist under one condition. She had to stop smoking cigarettes. "We'll see about a treatment plan to help you out with that bad habit once we get you out of here. It isn't an issue right now. There's no way that you can smoke in the hospital." Ron flashed back on his Aunt Dottie and how the two of them had snuck her out of the oxygen tent and down to the solarium for the cigarette after one of her heart attacks. "I'm going to schedule you for a cardiac catheterization next week," said Dr. Wetberg. "What's that?" said Marjorie. "We've run a very, very thin wire into your femoral artery and up to your heart. There is a camera on the end of it. It gives us an opportunity to see any blockages that you might have." "Will I be awake?" "No. We'll give you a light general anesthetic. The procedure will only take about 15 minutes. "I can't do it," said Marjorie. "There really isn't anything to be frightened of, Mrs. Bombasco. Early next week, and I will explain it all to you in detail, and you can ask as many questions as you want." "Doctor, I don't think I can do it." "We'll talk about that next week. Just remember, that is the best treatment option that we have to make sure we are doing everything that we should be to helping you get well." It took Ron an hour to calm her back down. He did it the way that he had confronted her agoraphobia. He talked with her using a soft voice and not being at all confrontational. He assured her that if she was not able to do it, then there would be other things that they could do. "What he's talking about isn't a treatment, Mom. It's a diagnostic. And I'm sure that there are other tests that they can do that did not involve putting you out or giving you any needles." She held up her arm, to which the heparin lock was attached. "Look at how black and blue I am already," she said pitifully. After he left the hospital, Ron headed straight for the French maid. It was just getting dark when he got there, and the place was almost empty. The girls worked shifts that ran from 12 to 6 and from 4 to 10 p.m. and then from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. The middle shift was the least desirable because it started fast with the after-work crowd and then sometimes was just slow and painful until the last couple of sets when it picked up. But by that time, the girls had been dancing in high-heel shoes for a long time and they were really tired. Most of the girls tooted speed or cocaine to keep their energy level up. But eventually their feet just ached and throbbed so much that they did floor work. This entailed lying down on the floor and spreading their legs for the patrons, but at least got them off their feet, and usually it resulted in good tips. Ron entered to the sound of "Fly Like an Eagle" and found a good seat. Because of the shape of the stage and the bar that ringed it, some seats were further away than others. There was also a raised perimeter area in the back with tables and chairs, but it had been empty both times that Ron went to the place. The guy who spun the records also acted as an announcer, and he introduced each girl as she came out to begin her set. "And let's welcome your favorite and mine, Emerald." There was no pause. There were at times hoots from some of the guys. When Ron looked up to get his first view of Emerald, his mouth dropped open. She looked just like Robin. She was slender, with long blonde hair. She had a thin face and high cheekbones. Her breasts weren't as big as Robin's, but she had the same legs and the same beautiful ass. Ron couldn't take his eyes off of her. She walked across the stage with an easy rolling glide. She was wearing a tight, tiny red skirt and red pumps and a wisp-like bra that she could get away with because she was small-breasted and did not have to worry about them popping out. About 2 minutes into her set, Ron held up his first dollar. She looked at him and gave him a smile and sat down on the stage and swung her legs over to the side and came over to him. She teased her nipples with her fingers as she stood in front of him, and Ron watched as they hardened for him. He decided to give her $2. 5 minutes later, he gave her two more, and this time she removed her tiny red skirt and laid it next to him on the bar. The G-string was minuscule. By the end of her set, Ron had given her $8. She walked over to him when she was finished and said, "May I have my skirt back?" Ron looked down at it and saw it had been sitting on the bar next to him the whole time. He had not taken his eyes off of her long enough to even look at it. Girls sometimes perfumed their skirts, and the men would sniff them while they watched the girls. "Yeah, of course," he said quickly. She rested her fingertips on his arm and looked into his eyes. Ron could see why she had chosen the name Emerald. Her eyes were a deep green. "Thank you for being so generous," she said. And then she was gone. Ron ordered another glass of wine and waited for her to come back. He watched the other girls disinterestedly. He checked to see how much money he had brought with him. He had $30, plus what was on the bar. That meant he had over 40. He could afford to stay there. When Emerald came back out, she changed into a glittery white costume, but was still wearing the red pumps. She stood in front of him and then turned and bent over and shifted from one leg to the other. Ron's eyes were glued to the way that her ass moved, and she shifted her weight. Then he saw that she was looking at him from between her legs. He held up two more dollars, and she smiled and wriggled off the stage. "Well, will you have a drink with me after you're finished?" "This is my last set, sweetie. But tomorrow afternoon, I'll be at the Hitching Post in Patterson." Ron was disappointed, but when she said where she would be, it almost sounded like a date, an invitation. "Okay," he said. "I'll see you there." She gave him a curious, crooked little grin and pressed his hand against her small breasts when she took the money.